11 is pillar 3, which really focuses on the whole aspect of the digital industrial revolution. If we don't get a comprehensive framework and action plan as a country in terms of how we're going to deal with the new growth phenomenon, we might find ourselves wanting. And we need really to focus on establishing this digital revolution and have a coordinated approach. And just to say more here, as a department, we have already met with the national department. We already formed the focus group in terms of how do we deal with this, just in terms of presenting it to authorities for approval. The key department that plays the role in that is DST, which looks at innovation, because there's a white paper on innovation that we're dealing with, and the DTI that looks at the whole manufacturing impact. And there's a labor which looks at the employment aspect around the digital and the issue of higher education and training and basic education in terms of how do we make sure that our curriculum fits within what is required in the next few years. So this is the pillar that is looking at how do we move the country forward. And now, as I said, that in slide, the following slide is that because there's a lot of cajoling and there's a lot of creation that we're supposed to do and bringing in people to understand why certain things have to happen, then we've already put into action because by the end of this financial year, we're supposed to have a fully fledged approved implementation plan. We've already been having action plans. For example, we have engaged with the FCCH ensuring that they develop a strategy and action plan in the whole issue about fiber. How do we make sure that the whole investment in fiber and growth of them fit into what we're trying to achieve? And that is expected that by July we could have that in place. And we need to, the national institute, the department is having a target that we need to have a digital skills strategy that brings in every effort and intervention of healing the nation that's supposed to be driven from the perspective of what is good for the country and what is it that we require to be an outcome. So the national peace conference, which is a meeting, will be ready and the peace station to the 15th of March, which will then give us what are the skills that we need. And then there is the issue of that we need to finalize the digital development plan. There's an act that is in place, which is supposed to also in terms of how do we build these new companies, how do we make sure that innovation becomes the name of the game. And that has to be in the process of, I think it's been in cabinet for approval so that it can be published for public comment. And the whole issue of the implementation of the SME strategy, which, as I said, will be presented here. And we have been engaging with the as one of the networks that are interested in building this platform center, the data hub. And we probably would provide each and every network must have a center, innovation center, or hub, where it can be able to restore second learning commission by 2015, they will be able to understand how the other networks take to do this. And there's the issue on the framework on the cyber security, which is also included here, taking into that picture. And you'll see when the cyber security team comes to that. But this, we need this to be happening in 6 months' time. So these are the timelines that we put out in terms of the, some of the actions that supposed to show us that we are actually moving forward. In the next slide also, there's also the establishment of the 5G plan. When you go to the G20, participation there. Most of the countries in the region, they're already talking about the countries that they have, they're already prepared their robots, and they're already IoT. So we need to be able to make sure that as much as there's a 98% coverage of the 3G, and then there's a 60 or coverage of the 4G, but the 5G is the name of the game. So we're establishing a 5G forum with a data card and maybe that's the sort of thing that we need to do. That's kind of. And the issue of subsetting the demand, the high demand spectrum, there's an engagement to come from the stakeholders to reduce the various issues that we're expecting that it will happen in that time frame. and the digital migration, I think we've heard about the fast track is switching off from analog to digital. And we expect the Department of Communication to be there by 2019, which is the paper, June 2019 to be done and complete. And there's also an interesting one from the engagement with the coalition who presented to us about the drone, the importance of drone and the effective, especially in the issue of air traffic control and safety. So the whole drone, as you know, that we got the potential to deliver the future for us. So in action one, these are the methods that we are engaging on that part and parcel of what we need. But we will be finalizing these things by the end of this financial year. Pillar two, what is really happening there in pillar two? The first thing about the pillar two is that all these areas where the weak tourism. Tourism is the department that indicated that this thing called sharing economy, which is critical in their mandate of making sure that they bring the economy to the country. So there's all these areas in terms of what are the areas that we're supposed to be looking at to be competitive. And there's also the digital business. There's a lot of interest in terms of how do we make sure the unbanked or the people that don't have the ability to access IT, that we use the mobile to become one of the first. And there's also industrial partnership on the deployment of IT infrastructure, particularly in the areas that have a potential for quality, okay? And those that bring the national park, how do we make sure that they become attractive? We expect that this partnership agreement and the whole SAPO e-commerce program, as you know, the post office is earmarked to be one of the e-commerce hubs for the continent, not just in the Arab, for the continent. And there was, I think, last meeting with the Universal Post Office in finalizing the logistics arrangement in the region. So we're expecting that same meeting to be there. And the whole issue of the SMU in terms of the animal tracking technology in the UK. There's been a discussion around it to say we need to really focus on the area that offers the basis of them. In this case, one of which is about the whole issue about animals involved and how to use the technology to track them. And there's a collaboration with the Department of Transport, the CSIR, on the full integration of the transport system. How do we use it to ensure that the road safety and all these other aspects keep it in order. So we need to be able to address that by the same thing. And the issue about also looking at all the policy strategies, the tourism, the culture that they have, and we want to see how the ICT can be used to structure that. And the whole issue about digital content that I talked about, digital content rights, with CSIR, we had a meeting by finalizing the meeting, training meeting, we need to have proper understanding of what happens by the way that we digital rights program. And we see on the social media, lots of South African videos that are coming out and they're being accessed and everywhere. How do we make sure that we put them and package them in a way that it becomes a South African flavor? So the tourists who come in, you can really to love you and enjoy. So there's that approach that CSIR has identified in the first opportunity to do that. And the following slide, the whole issue of the digital revolution, industrial revolution in the country. If you look at the annex to the digital strategy, there's a terms of reference for the formation of the digital revolution, which tells us how it's formation, what must happen. But then the announcement by the president that needs to be formulated into a commission brings a different approach in the sense that, as you know, the trade areas are the working that they if you are forming any other position or body of organization to government, so the process of that needs to come. So we are establishing this digital revolution by 2015. And the issue around the center, we need to develop the center, the research center. This research center is aligned with our participation in the ITU, in the World Economic Forum, and it's in break, so that we can be able to take advantage of what is going on there. So the center will be able to do research after the university. And We need to have a digital future report, 2050, which we believe that in 18 months we will be able to do it. Because of the very how the future, the digital future that has been happening in the Commission, the Commission that is regarding the Commission. And when we have to talk about application of the digital data, we will take the problem that this working group of the Commission will be. Now, the focus now stems from this was the broader national digital strategy that the whole country approach. Now here we are saying the second slide that we say government is supposed to be the early adopter and supposed to be the driver of what we are preaching. So this is about digitizing the government and that's where CETA comes in the but basically what we say is that there are problems that we have identified. Because the digitalization of the happening in the country, but it's been happening for this year, and we have fragmentation, and we've seen that they are famous to develop cost and religion, and then access supposed to be used and proven. So these are some of the problems that we're talking about now. And the religion is just covering all these services. And the particular objective is about this. We make sure that the services are used, so it's format, make sure that they're. We harmonize all the information and the GPS and our server, parallel information, and make sure that the skills, not just only in the society, but also in the government itself, because we need to, the people who are working on the GPS website to be able to be skilled and only to be able to use this ICT. And the domains that we are looking at is to make sure that the government is given the government development and the process to ensure that there's a issues about the company and so the whole convenience issues. The convenience is we believe that we can bring value and lower the cost in government. The slide 17 is more about what we could have here because these are the things that we believe strategically the technology needs in place in order for us to be able to realize the whole objective of the development. And the main thing is about that we need to have the common vision that permeates from the local government right up until to the national government. That's people, like this week, I think next month we'll be in the state level, we'll be developing the national provincial government, so we'll be presenting the results of what are the programs and what are the areas that are supposed to be fast tracked. And we believe that this will ensure that the sharing, the core and support of the network. That what she says going to be at the back of it, supposed to be able to support provinces of the country. And the other issue is about you need to have a structure, a deciding structure, very quick, that's supposed to be present. This is the thing from the Ministerial Commission. And the commission that we are creating and this working group that is supposed to report there and set up the decision application quicker. So we need to have what we need. And the issue around regulatory framework, we need to be able to have a regulatory framework that has been developed. Because with the e-government, if you don't have a regulatory framework, it becomes what we have been experiencing in the previous years. So we need to develop it. And we need to also have a central posture. I think it's been said a lot of times over here that we need to have this posture. But this is one of the things that we need to put into the room. I think we need to take this position into okay, we should, how far are we able to do this posture. And the whole issue about funding, you see on the e-government, we're talking about creating, engaging the treasury and in looking at the investment framework, e-government investment framework, because we believe that there's a lot of money that is available in policy, in the, how do we make sure that we coordinate that and we move forward into achieving the e-government strategy. And the issue of the importance that there needs to be a collaboration, some collaboration between those that identified the driving issue. The department, sort of the digital transformation committee can be able to enforce. And the issue about measuring and evaluation, the issue of indicators, so that we can be able to know as a government that we are moving rightly, nicely into the government. It's the issue of such as the engagement that we are always developing a framework of how do we measure this e-government. It also pleasing that we've always managed to control certain essays that when they were using, when they were doing the census, to say, why are you using paper when we don't, why don't you move to mobile technology? and then they indicated to us that if you can give us the money, we can be able to move into it and tell us what is the proper technology that we can use. And rightly so, certain things will be moving into or move us. They allocated, I think, $250 million. In the next census, they are moving into teaching more. There are the key issues that we are dealing with in terms of, because we've tried to that's the kind of thing that we are talking about. But on e-government is a very big indicator. As you see on the UN e-government framework, the criteria that is being used now is it's supposed to be able to be controlling companies. Well, there was an indication that we are going to have the engagement with developing countries to influence the e-government agency, because we find that to measure and compare in a fair way with the countries that are leading. And the issue around, we need to have the champion of coordination. Because in e-government, you need people who really understand how government works, where the cluster approach of government, you need to understand what drives the local, the IDPs of the local, you need to understand the provincial practices, the growth practices. So it's a lot of the coordination that's supposed to happen in there. And supposed to be driven from there. So we need to have champions in each area that we are dealing with. So these are the key, we think, recommendations that are supposed to see them happening in their reality. The slide 18 is more about how this whole approach from the national perspective we are looking at. And it's more about ensuring that the government will be in place, and also we saw that the whole services that we are trying to do is transformative in nature, and that also that the public servants themselves are enabled to be able to be part and parcel and daily use this. So it's more about the model and then as well as how the government is happening. And you see that this whole digital transformation commission is actually even coming in, because we're trying to take us all these existing forums and councils and place them under the digital investor committee. So it's so that we speak within the same voice. So this national ICT forum, we are going to cut into this digital revolution committee and make sure that we don't leave anyone behind. So that's basically the SLBC. And now, on slide 19, you'll see that there's a broad nature and higher level of implementation here. And you see how Peter breaks it down into action plans in terms of the areas of focus and actions that are supposed to take place. So here we put it on higher level to say, in addressing this deliverable, we need to be able to work within a timeline. Because timelines are very important there, and then they tell us whether we are moving with the speed and the flourish speed. So this is the slide that talks about how we need to move everyone to this. Because we found this coordination fragmentation, changing behavior, and people being used to doing things in the most hardest things to do is change their mindset. So this is more about, okay, for example, we need this whole national speed for stuff. It needs to be, if our country is supposed to be in the up to date, we're saying if 2018 is there and it's not, and the whole issue around we need to be able to do the game changer. The citizens, the front line services, because we're talking about convenience and we're talking about making sure that people involved. The services in a very precise way. So we're focusing on the public facing public services that are in itself has a great advantage on it. And the whole issue about the electronic identity is also critical. Homicides have already put it into their identity when they've completed their service delivery new way of homicides. So the national electronic identity system is critical. Links all the services that we do. And the issue about the national police government, the people, the institution, And the whole issue requiring that the restructuring of
And what is also happening on page on slide number 26, if you see there, we also acknowledge that enabling government is not a matter of one stakeholder doing it, because it's a national initiative. So basically, we need collaboration amongst all the societal stakeholders that exist, from industry partners, from the public sector, civil society, academia, including the research entities of our country. And that is seeming to be working very well. And also what we said as CETA is that we cannot do everything. We must make sure that we do things that are architecturally oriented so that we keep the IT of government. But if something has to be built, we can give it to the other industry players to build for us, so that we can accelerate delivery when it comes to digital transforming government. And it's shown on slide number 26 that anything that is architecturally inclined, and more especially the systems that are of national risk or high risk nationally, we have to make sure that we contain them and look after them internally and not give them to any other external player. But anything that has to do maybe with establishing networks, developing software, and also training, we can do the design and architecture part, but we can give the building part to our industry partners. And that also helps a lot in terms of giving opportunities to SMEs. And the other thing that we did was to establish a tender 1563 that helps that contains a list of service providers, more especially software development service providers, that are distributed across all the provinces. So that now, even as we encourage even the concept of localization to make sure that if there is work to be done in a certain province, we don't look for service providers from a different province to do that work. We look internally within the province to address the province's demands. And that's how CETA is currently structured also, because we're decentralizing into the regional offices the work that we do. We've got the complement that is sitting at the head office, and at the same time we've got capacity that is sitting at the provinces, so that the demand that comes from the provinces can be addressed by those capacities, with governance and standardization handled at the head office level. The other thing that we have done, as Ali has said, is from the hackathon perspective. We want our employees to be excited when they do work. We want to have fun when we do work, so that it doesn't become something that is stressing us. As a result, we are doing what we call rapid application development Fridays. Every second Friday of the month, we go all the entire department that I'm heading. It goes to a single space there, and we are under one roof, everyone, and all we do is looking at what the problems are and try to accelerate the delivery of key services as much as it is possible. And it helps a lot, because that collaboration also helps with the transfer of skills in terms of making sure that we understand what each of the hands is doing within this effort of delivering the services to our government. To also make sure that as CETA we are skilling up ourselves, because we come from different environments and also we come with different levels of experience. That collaboration effort now helps us to harmonize in terms of skill sets, to make sure that we are well balanced, and also we reach an equilibrium where we can all push forward with a single kind of expertise. And the other thing that we're doing is to make sure that, as I said, from the collaboration perspective, and more especially from looking at the societal stakeholders, we try to make sure that we find out what the other stakeholders think the problems are socio-economically, so that we don't look at a narrow scope. The example to that would be GovTech 2017. The format that GovTech 2017 was the GovTech 2017 event was modeled this year, was that we approach stakeholders and looking at problem statements that arise from the certain clusters of government, so that we look at solutions from the problem perspective to say what problems are there that are burning and that are maybe taking our country backwards instead of taking the country forward. And then from that problem, we discuss as to what the business solutions are that are required to speed up digitization or digitalization of our government. And that approach from the Gov 15/17 event was actually commended by many of the stakeholders that we engaged with, that it was more fruitful than the other GovTech events. And the other thing that we have done I'm on page 27 now, from the 2016-17 financial year, around November, we also deployed the central portal that Ali was talking about, which is now the central window where our citizens can access the electronic services that are offered by government. And the very first service that we're excited of, that we implemented, we deployed in 2016, was the e-registration, the registration for senior certificate amended candidates for the Department of Basic Education, where now people who would like to sit for exams are going online and registering online and getting all the permits to go into the exam room online or via email. That was a very successful initiative from our side. And also this year, which is the 2017-18 financial year, we had a target of deploying 20 e-services online. And to date, we have deployed 14, which means we are left with 6 now, which are going to be deployed before the end of this financial year. And the clients that we have dealt with currently are more Department of Basic Education, Department of Higher Education and Training, Department of Small Business Development, and the Department of Economic Development in the Eastern Cape and also in the Free State. And if we go to page 28 and 29, this is what is sitting in our inventory now as a set of other e-services that are still in our development machinery that are planned to be deployed across this financial year and also the next financial year. The other thing that we are doing, working together with the DPS and DPSA, we are making sure that we synchronize the efforts and also align the priorities between what we execute as SITA and what is priority from the department's perspective, so that we make sure that we get all the cooperation we need from the other departments as we will be executing on their priorities. The list of services goes up to page 32 in terms of what we have planned. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr.
I think this quarter of the performance is about getting this implementation to kick and making sure that we are able to do or to put out the things that we want to do that are practical by nature, not do the wishy washy dream is something that we want to be available. So this is in a draft form of our engagement with the speaker and in terms of making sure that we have a 3-year sort of outline of what's supposed to happen in the year to change. So by the end of this March, this what we've been presenting will be clear and we'll be able to prioritize, because there's an implementation plan that's supposed to go through the processes in the department, and by the end of quarter four we'll be able to share with the members in terms of we have accountability. And it's even at the cost in terms of what if all these things that we are intending to do or do is costing. I think roughly it is even per service. Like we will look at this, like for example a permit on what is the cost around there. So this is about this is the APP target that we're supposed to demonstrate our outcome on. The And they're slightly forced. Basically, you're saying that there's an engagement with the role players. There's a very interesting system between GPSA on a political level, on a operational level, on a technical level, about this department. Particularly, when you look at the GTOC, which is a government information media, that has a ticket with GPSA, which have a prominent role in the role that they have to play. And there's also a second aspect of the SA, what is the school of government supposed to play in this case? So there's an engagement with key role players on the system. And we hope that by the end of this financial year, we're supposed to be able to be clear and when we have an implementation plan that is acceptable. The issue that I just wanted to outline is this issue of the national awareness plan. On the key strategy. So it's something that we need to be able to, I think, get a lot of input from stakeholders. Where is the area that we're supposed to be able to get into so that we can be able to make this digital government application adopted quickly in the country? Especially in those areas that we feel that they are not being given sufficient attention. And actually where there's a lot of young people who have already moved into this space. Okay? So the whole issue of the national awareness plan, I think as a teacher, we will try to get some proper way of doing it in a way that it becomes faster and quicker and difficult for people to reach. So this is the ongoing engagement with CITA, as I said. The timeline is the end of the financial year. And then the GPS and CITA, we are engaging GPSA on as a strategic partner because we also believe that actually when the Digital Transformation Committee becomes there, that the GPSA minister and the GPS minister be co-chair, because if you transform government, you should be able to have the minister that will be related about administration and playing a key role. And also that once we have agreed with the CTR on the implementation policy, we go through this cluster process. We want to go to the security cluster and say these are the roles that we're expecting that the department in the security aspect of the display and go to the economic sector, social and government and have a vision for it in their plan of action, the program of firm action. It becomes even these issues that we are trying to achieve, it becomes their problem. So as I said, 18th end of March will be complete. And the department in 2018, I thought maybe I might just share with the committee in terms of next year, 18-19, in terms of this environment, what are we putting as a key areas that we're supposed to be changing. Obviously, this process is underway in council, parliament, in terms of the final. But what we're envisioning is that as a strategic objective for the government, we need to have this national digital skills strategy up and running because we believe that these skills are very essential. We need to have this sharper e-commerce platform and being adopted. And then this e-service portal needs to be completed, as we said, in 2018. So we need to be able to. This work here is about getting the national department and all these provincial governments and state entities to be able to upload into this program and it becomes user friendly so that's the drive that we'll be dealing with as far as we're doing it. And thank you very much.
You want to come back, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I forgot to give you the website link for our live portal. I think that we have it www.eservices.gov.za. I was trying to get there, but I think my signal is too low. And as Ali has said, my colleague, we also acknowledge that there is a lot of digitalization or digital transformation initiatives that are happening across the country. And the reason that there is no impact is that they are too fragmented. And we are trying now to bring everything together to make sure that anything that is e or that is consumable electronically can be published through this centralized portal so that our citizens can consume all the available e-services from government via a centralized portal. Thank you.
Why I say that is I would like to know, was there any engagement with industry players, with institutions, university institutions, to compile a concise plan? Because, you see, my concern is we have 4 weeks before end of quarter four. And from where I sit, we're not nowhere near. There's no indication that the steps that are listed, interventions, etc., it's not chronological in any way. So, for instance, identify regulatory restrictions. How long will that take? The audit of e-government update in government. How long will that take? The CSIR will report on the value chain of the broadband industry in 6 months. So we don't see before us a clear plan to say this must be done by them and this is the entity that's responsible for it. Because only if we get that, we have an implementation plan. And then we can hold entities accountable for delivery. And entities can then in advance say, no, wait a minute, we don't have capacity. My concern is, Peter's plan, from what I can see, looks very good, but I don't know if your clients are happy. There's an issue, for instance, on the SAPS system that was developed, and there's a problem. Peter is facing the service provider in court, I don't know, but you see, those issues can hamper implementation. And we must know that. So those are practical constraints. And the time has come for the department to be absolutely up. Don't give it a nice, sort of a fluffy plan. We want to see that you know what you're doing. And Chairperson, I'm sorry, but what we had here before, I want to ask you about your colleagues. I see fellow one is intervention. Now, is fellow one perhaps identifying exactly what I was referring to, legislative constraints or whatever, opening the ICT sector by introducing competition? In principle, there is competition. Maybe it is the strengthening of small, medium enterprises. That means, now, who's going to support that role? Surely it's not this department, it's small business development, etc. So, I'm looking at fellow one. I wonder if it's coordination of cross-sector. Fellow two, sectoral intervention. Then we speak of smart farming, smart industry, smart communities. I don't see exactly what Pillar 2 intends to achieve. It feels very fluffy. Pillar 1 and Pillar 2 is not clearly sort of differentiated. I think if we get to the action plan, it's very wide. You know, March to July 2018, then 13 to 15 March, then 2018 to 2019, then if you go further, it's 6 months. Then we're saying, for instance, establishment of 5G forum in partnership with the ICASA and the industry. Is there any, you mentioned in passing, percentage of 3G and 4G coverage. Is there verifiable evidence? Is there a study that we can use so that we know it's true? I must say, very often, 4G is not even available in parts of paper. It's really not here. I mean, in fact, I think we don't have 4G here in Poland. So I mean, the point is, we must know what are we talking about. Now, again, if you look at pillar 2, you refer to tourism in 2.1, 2.3, 2.7, which tells me it's nice ideas, but it's not a sort of building block. This is what can be achieved with tourism. This is agriculture. This is what can be. So in order to sell it, in order to create awareness, there must be a very good understanding of what the benefit is. I feel, Chairperson, that what we have before us is a nice what is supposed to happen. But it's not a framework on how we will achieve. And for me, as a member of the committee, I'm deeply concerned. I'm really deeply concerned. I would like the department to achieve. I would like the entity to achieve. But I'm not convinced that you are. And I don't know what it is. Is it a lack of engagement? Because there's a huge, very good private industry that we can link up with to establish public partnerships, public-private partnerships. Chairperson, all I want to tell you is we have a new president. He's announced this digital commission. He means business. This sort of plan is going to not receive these angles. That I can assure you. It's very worrying. It's, you know, National Audit of Government ICT System 2016 to 2018. Consider that. And how much have you achieved? Mm-hmm. How far is it? Is there a completion date? underline what you say is really, we are right at full support. And the target is that it must be finalized, developed and finalized. This, I would say, maybe 10% to 15% or maybe 20% of an implementation plan. What is going to happen in the next 3 weeks? We must keep the department accountable. I'm really busy about that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Colleagues, how do you want us to proceed? Lee has raised a packet full of concerns. He wants us to allow them to respond, or should we take the over, take it up? Madam, you follow. Madam Jim, you follow. Uncle Mackenzie, you follow.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to know if the department has the project management for this ICT. It has to be somebody here and there. And then both the slide and your own pillar one intervention are talking about the rollout of broadband to connect for 40,000 government sites, local service enterprise, empowering SMMD. Is the department going to empower these MMEs or what? Or do you have any comments here? And then go to slide 12. On slide 12, on pillar one action plan, 1.2, about the timeline, it's 17th of March. When? On 2019 or in 2018? If it's 2018, how far was it? Only 1 week or 2 weeks? Thanks, Chair. I'm covered by colleagues.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I have concerns about this. It's a great wish list, but I think it's basically just to complete the tick boxes before the end of the financial year for your targets. Because it's very high sounding, but I think it's... I just think that a lot of this is already out there. The private sector is way ahead of you. And you're now sort of trying to come in and do an easy strategy thing if you don't really give much indication of who you've engaged with. For example, we're doing a government audit of government systems, government installations. BMI Technology has probably the most comprehensive database of what government services, what networks are where. I mean, are you talking to them? Are you using their stuff? Why do you do it? They knew more about Interconnect than I think the government did. Which, you know, to me is why are we reinventing the wheel, trying to sort of pretend we're delivering this all on our own, the government is, when it's actually all out there. Did you, when you were drawing up these focus pillars, align their intentions with the current legislation that's in the bill? Because you say the purpose of pillar one is to open the ICT sector by introducing competition. Well, the wireless network, anxious competition. So, you know, you're at odds with legislation that's in the pipeline. Align the IT strategy with the 9-point plan. There again, current legislation is against the 9-point plan because it encourages investment in rollout broadband. Well, you know, the legislation that's in the pipeline is against that. So, you know, there's a whole, there's not a clear vision of what is actually happening. I mean, there's a lot of words here, and my concern is that it's not going to be delivered on. For example, SAConnect failed because of political interference in the choice of a lead agency, which took a year to try and get a lead or exception from the from Treasury for the public finance management. So that wasted over a year on SAConnect. So we now sort of back to a piecemeal project. We're not really quite sure how that is and where the money's coming from. ETT transition failed, again, because of sheer incompetence, a lot of it politically directed. So perhaps the department shouldn't be held to blame on that. And then the department itself failed in overseeing USASA's rollout of one of the key municipalities that is going to be a pilot for Ithekinix. I mean, in Mpumalanga, how much corruption and wasted money and wasted time happened on this department's watch? You know, so if you can't roll out one municipality, how are you going to roll out all the rest of this by when it's going to 2-3 years' time? You know, you've got to get the basics right before you have the grandiose plans on top of all of this. Now, you make scant mention of your liaisons with provincial government, for example. Has there been any discussion with provincial government? Have you sat down with the provincial government and said, how are we going to coordinate national government plans, provincial government plans? Has there been liaison with the metros? You know, these are the smart cities. You know, we talk about rolling out a hub in Ekurhuleni. But, you know, what actual work are you doing to find out what's on the ground, how you can actually coordinate what exists, rather than coming in and some whole new intervention to make it look like you're on top of the thing? I think this is, you actually set yourself up for failure, yeah, no. Thank you.
I hope you are noting everything that is being said. Gentlemen?
To echo what some of my colleagues have been saying, so perhaps the language that you're using in your presentation is questionable in itself. And let me quote you: the vision that we are trying to get to, what we are trying to do, what the strategy is trying to address. You know, my favorite quote is Yoda from Star Wars. He says, do or do not. There is no try. You either do it or you don't. You've also used terms like supposed to get you and supposed to happen. And I'm not sure if it's just the language that you use, but there was very little about will. You know, we will do this, and we are going to do that. What I would have liked to have seen in this kind of presentation is the status report. This is where we were 5 years ago. This is where we are now, and this is where we will be in 5 years. When I look at your dates on your timeline, 2019, 2020, 2022, you know, politicians, we haven't had our jobs for 5 years. There was a very famous television program in Britain called Yes Minister, and it was all about the conflict between politicians and civil servants. How the civil servants in a capable state stay where they are and the politicians rotate, which is how it should be. But if you're a really smart civil servant like the ones in Yes Minister were, what they would do is make sure that everything stays the same because they knew that the politicians would rotate. So they wouldn't actually have to answer or be accountable to anybody if they pushed out the timeline for long enough. I'll suggest to you that with the institutional review that's about to happen, and with the end of our term coming up in 2019, there's a very good chance, sir, that you could come and address a brand new committee in 2020 and bring exactly this presentation to that committee, and nobody would know any difference. And then you could say, we are trying to do this, we are supposed to do this, and we're working towards that. And in the meantime, the fourth industrial revolution, which was rooted in 2016, is passing us by as a country, and it's passing us by as a people. And I can see you smiling, and I'm making jokes here. But we're talking about the future of our country. We're talking about the future of our children, because it's their futures that we're dealing with. So I would just like to make that comment. Then, I'm sorry, just bear with me. In terms of your action plans, and I'm going to echo my colleague, Honorable Shin, the private sector has done everything that you're talking about here. It's already in place. If you want to book a hotel room, go on to booking.com or I think Shivago or something are advertising currently them on the TV. You can go there and you can find the best hotel room in Cape Town from an international site and book it. You can book your air tickets online. You can book your cruises online. It's all there. You can buy a ticket for the Table Mountain, that mountain, that one that you missed on your way in, that big thing. You can get get a ticket to the top of it online. You can jump the queue. So, you know, we're ahead of the game. Digital banking services. We've had three new entrants this year granted banking license. One is exclusively digital banking. So we're already in that space as the private sector. Animal tracking technology. You can now track your children with a little RFID, you know, under their skin. So you will never lose your child. Same for your pet. You go to the vet, they stick that little identification chip and you can track them. Same way you can track your car. All that technology is there. So when we talk innovation, you talk about data centers. I just quickly Googled data center on Google. Perhaps can I suggest that members in the department actually use Google as a tool? I found out at our last committee meeting what Google was, and I've stumbled into it. Liquid Telecom invested $1.3 billion into expanded data centers. That's what it tells me here, just at a glance. Amazon says it may build SA data centers. So, fine data centers. Johannesburg data centers. Okay, we had a bit of sabotage there, you know, when the VA took over, but it's all fine now.
No.
We improved. So, the point is that these things are happening. And as my colleague saying, it appears that you're just kind of piggybacking off and saying, well, here's the innovation. No, it isn't. To my mind, what I would have liked to have seen from CISA, I'd very much like your hackathon. I think that's a great idea. To me, that's innovative, that's creative, getting all those young minds together to develop apps. It's a brilliant idea. Maybe you should do it on a weekly basis in a month rather than one day. It's a great idea. But I would like to see more information on the e-services that you've developed. You know, where we are with those e-services, what they do, maybe an example of what some of these do. That I think would have been very useful as an indicator of where we are, because ultimately that must be your core mandate, is the delivery of government services. It's not about tourism, it's not about digital banking. As far as the SAPO e-commerce portal goes, you know, SAPO, the mails I'm getting from people that say items have been there since December at the Johannesburg International Mail Centre. So when you say SAPO are doing an online mall, that's already available. My wife goes shop, she buys sandals and stuff online, gets delivered to the door all the time, and I know because I answer the door with my studies right there. So it's very irritating to me that she's ordering all this stuff. But all those malls are there. You can go to Bid or Buy, for example, you can buy stuff. What SAPO needs to do is be that logistics hub to facilitate the delivery of parcels. That should be their business. That's what they should be focusing on. And yet they can't even get that right, because parcels are still sitting at the Johannesburg International Mail Centre since before Christmas that haven't been delivered. So SAPO's focus should be on that, and if you're going to digitise that, it should be on the systems, it should be making sure that the tracking number on an international parcel is able to be recorded in the existing system. At the moment, they take that and then they punch it in manually and then they ship it on. So all the focus for SAPO should be there. So, you know, e-commerce portal, it sounds great, man. It really does. It sounds great, but it's rubbish. With respect, I think I'm largely covered by my colleagues. Thank you for this,
Madame Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm covered by any of my colleagues on the timelines. First of all, this remains unexcused, that's the 2018 to 2020, when, and also there is in slide 14, I think, launch of laws and SME owned animal tracking technology in the Eastern Cape. Why in Eastern Cape? Because we have specified in every clinic. That is a preliminary way in Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Minister McKenzie, sir.
Thank you, Chair, for taking part. There was just one very important point I missed. If you access Facebook on a, I'm not saying Vodacom specific, but if you access on the Vodacom site, it says there's a way you can access that without like a free app. So that technology clearly exists, and I would imagine that to enable an uptake of e-government services, you would want it to be free. Given the cost of data, given the scarcity of data for many of our people, you would want that to happen. So that clearly, Vodacom and their engineers have developed that. MTN, I presume, at Los Angeles, and they've developed that app. You all you would need to do is approach the private sector and say, what technology are you using for this, and then adopt that. And if you could answer that, I'd be grateful. Thank you, Chip.
You want to comment, Chip? One matter.
Chairperson, I made some general comments, but I also would like to know on slide on the action plan. What are the areas with potential for tourism that have limited ICT connection? Who is responsible for that service? And by when can you expect it? And also, the establishment of the Digital Industrial Revolution Commission. I actually think that one could call it Digital Revolution Commission, but you know the play. When in 2018? Does it need specific information? How will it, what is the foresight of the department? How will the composition of that commission be? Will we get a good mix of industry players, of people from the academia and the department as entities, etc.? Please give us the details. I would like to make a recommendation towards the other committee.
I'm sure, gentlemen, you are taking notes of what colleagues have raised there. I don't know whether I'm left with anything else to say. But I guess the main issue that the report lacks is really the whole issue of what, where, and when, and by whom. We are unable, our role as a committee is to oversight. So when you have a report that does not speak to those things, you are unable to understand what you're talking about. It makes our work very difficult. So you will need to go and improve your document. You will need to go and improve your document in line with the questions that members have raised. You'll still respond to the question, but I prefer that we have a written response to the issues that members have raised so that we can do appropriate follow-up and indeed assist in closing the gaps between ourselves and the future committee so that we have a proper handover to whoever will come post 2019. Just on a few matters, and I know that it's quite a lot of few matters I would like to raise. I think, yeah, just one matter the colleagues have already spoken to. The presentation, the language that you have used it's almost toned down. I don't know whether Mr. Kinsenge understands toned down. You see, when you say we need, there's a need. Everything that you said has got those must need. But when the speaker gentleman presented, he told us about things that have happened, things that are happening and things that will be happening. Yours were all the things that need to happen. So you spoke like a politician, which defeats your very good document. I think there's a lot of good content. But your need, things that need to happen, shoots the content, and it fades out. I think it may be a language that you use. You know, we've got all these filler words that you do use, even for things that are historic, but the documentation that we should counter you. To say the things that have happened already in 2016, when When you talk about the 2016-2017, what do you mean? Does it mean January 2016 to December 2017, or is it the financial year? You know, there's a lack of clarity in your growth strategy. Colette raised the issue, and it's a very important issue about the fourth industrial revolution. It's not our matter. It doesn't belong to South Africa. It's a world revolution. Now, where do we locate? Where do we locate South Africa? Where do we locate South African e-evolution? Because that's what we're trying to deal with. Within government, where are we? And where is the outside of government? I think colleagues have already spoken that you're talking 3G, the world is already talking E5. The industry is running at E4 some. So, I mean, that kind of analytic presentation does help us to know as to where we are. And if we are lagging behind, as colleagues have indicated that we are behind time, what has led us to be behind? Are we ever going to catch up? Look, this revolution does not, if we are out, we are out, and we'll be unlikely to catch up. Because it is not locality based. It's based there in the space, in the visual space of the world. It doesn't matter whether you are here or anywhere else, you can get anything that you need, wherever it is. So. The borders are crashed off, and your banking system, and perhaps many import arrangements, and that's why some of the things will be possibly lying somewhere at the Johannesburg, at the entrance from to the customs space. I mean, our management and ensuring the government moves in time. I think the comments that colleagues have raised are very, very important. And Mr. McKenzie has been raising this thing ever since I came into this committee, almost without failure. Every time we deal with that, he raises this matter, and I still have to go and see this thing that he's talking about, because once a matter is raised continuously, you must know that there's a problem. And I need to understand, perhaps I'll need to spend half a glass of wine with Mr. McKenzie to really get to understand this thing, because I think it's a very serious matter that SAPO should have dealt with. And now we are running to something else, yet we've got something that remains unresolved. So it's important that we know as to where we are and what will it take for us to catch up and see where the world is. We raised the issue about the radio spectrum solution intervention, but without saying as to what is expected and when will it happen, I know that almost everyone that has spoken in Parliament, the President, Minister of Finance, and anyone else, and I assume that as we go to the budget process, ministers will be raising all those things, but there's no details, and therefore make our work very difficult to oversee. But what I also found lacking, and this happens to my lack of appreciation. When you talk about the whole e-governance, what I could not pick up is your broad problem statement. When you conceptualize the e-governance, what is it that you wanted? And what is it, what will it take for you to achieve what you need to, if it has timelines or whatever, I fail to understand, because I've been trying to think about e-government. What does it mean? You talk about certain things that are happening, departments, what departments are doing, what you are doing, for instance, which I like is what CITA is doing with your Friday prize or whatever you call those exciting times solving problems. But what I couldn't find is, when you talk about the whole government issue, is what is it actually trying to do? What I see, and I've been seeing, nothing has we've been getting papers forever. We're still getting, and we're getting even bigger papers now going forward. And I know that we have certain areas where you don't need to have your paper. You come in with your gadget, and as you sit in that meeting, you link into the available spot and everything that you get presented there. You see it yourself. And you follow the, what you call it, the micro comment, you put an advanced platform, and so on and so on. Because you must lead by example. You must lead by example. You must force, you must take, you must fight and move with us. But if you allow us to go back, and I mean, I would have, if I were you, I would have dragged coming into the meeting, if you need some advance. Well, gentlemen, unfortunately, I've put on my systems and all your gadgets are not picking up, so you are behind time. I will then send one of my junior staff members to come and help set up your system so that in future I will come in a meeting and I can tell you your names and everything or your numbers to which you are connecting so that I'm able to give you the presentation and so on and so on and so on and so on. I mean, that would excite every one of us to say, hey, we're lagging behind. Let's be inspired, both as we are, let's be inspired to try and catch up with time. Because that's what inspiration is. But now the issue I wanted to raise is specific problem, and I would have thought, and it's something you may want to do on your Friday engagement. Look, we have problems, and government has not moved to deal with those problems. Recently, we had this, let me take the recent one. Last week, we had the Nyobo issue, crime, where some thugs from a church massacred the police, killed our police. And a soldier. What are we doing? What is it that we can do as EAD to address the problem? Is there a way that government can dispose of all these manual firearms and get e-firearms, for instance, that are linked to their fingerprints for use and what you have to do? Ensure that government can, whoever has the manual gun, must hand it over and it must be destroyed. Everyone who needs to have a gun must have an e-gun, and it's linked to the fingerprints. You can't feel it because it's like your cell phone. I mean, nobody can open my cell phone because my phone, you need to take my finger to open. So if the guns were to follow the same route, then these cards. I mean, I'm just saying, it's a small idea. You remove these things, all these guns, because you dare find a person with a manual gun, he goes for 10 years. And I mean, you say now, or 15 years or 20 years. So in that way, we'll be helping to remove the bomb and bring something new. Some guys make crime, some of them have now run away from the interventions of the state capture issues. Surely, if our passports and other things they look like when you look at your ID, it looks like they've got a chip there. Now, if that chip really doesn't help to track by the state as to where this ID, because this document, even if it says it belongs to the state, so if the state if it belongs to the state, surely the state must own all its property. Now, if I move around my passport and my ID, and I'm somewhere in Dubai, in a nice hotel overseeing the ocean. Surely the state should be in a position to say, this man is at Dubai. And send a message, listen, you have to come back because you've got my cell phone. Even if my cell phone is closed, you are able to get it. The state should have those power. Mr. AJ, you went to back in South Africa and to Suzanne and company. I mean, that's what we should be, that's the power of the state. The state can't be subjected to our normal situation because what we have picked up happening, for instance, you talk about the data issues. What I found to be scary is that, I mean, you go to some of these gated villages, you arrive there, they want your fingerprint. And when you put your finger there, it tells you exactly who you are, where you come from, where you live, and everything. Including all your vehicles. And that's just kind of check as to where they got my details. I don't know, I just said some of it. But some of the information the state is supposed to be protecting is already there. I mean, I'm saying, you know, there are all those things. I was, and we call it the raise the issue of regulatory framework to do certain things. I mean, we have this crypto currency that's taking the world by storm. I don't know what our response is. Well, there's nothing that we can do about it. But, I mean, you guys should be a step ahead on this matter. If indeed it is something we should, South Africans should be doing, you should be there to say, well, this is a good currency and we should be going with the flow. Oh, no, we don't have a proper regulatory framework. And then you make our societies aware because, and who, where is it located? Because, I mean, the next thing that happens, you don't even know where you took the money to. So, I mean, those things are, for me, important, especially at the level of government. You've raised the, indeed, your colleagues have raised the concerns. You talk about smart money, whatever, and really without saying as to what they can say, and what is intended, what is true to the state and what is not. There is a lot, I think, that the document is not saying. One, that the government has privatized your early childhood. And President has raised this, and I said, people need to raise this. I would have wanted to hear you as to where you locate in this evolution, where you locate yourself within the early childhood. Talk about malls, I mean, e-malls, obviously one would think, I mean, there are already e-schools. You don't have to go to school. You can get education while you travel at home. And a host of other things. I mean, we should know as to where we are. That, those are some of the things that I would just want to reflect on. In Cape Town is a huge traffic problem. I left my residence now at 7 o'clock. It took me 1 hour 45 minutes for a 22 kilometer. This is what should happen. How are we solving the issue? Do we need really more roads, or can we find a better way of managing it? Because let's find a solution that's going to an e-solution to the problem. I mean, colleagues have already spoken about what private sector is doing. I know that at some point, I mean, when you, in certain cities, your gadget is able to tell you that this road is highly packed, take an alternate route via the small street, and you're out of the clockings and you are at your destiny. I mean, those are the things that state should be, I mean, those are the things that excite people. As we talk about innovation. Yeah, the last matter that I would like to raise, because it's about finding solutions to the problems. We had there's a problem, a standing problem, between the taxi, which is still a violence and death, your Uber and Taxify, which has become a popular public transportation system and indeed used it to public transport issues. But you also have your retired meter taxi system. Those guys are fighting these ones because they don't have a solution. And the state, I would assume, should have come up with measures and say, out of that Friday thing, how do we help Department of Public Works here, I mean, of roads, to find these guys a cheaper e-space that they can use to take them out of the situation? Because we ain't going to go back. There's no way the country will go back. We are forced to move forward, and we should be finding solutions to say, how do we help them find a better system that is not based somewhere else, and at least localize one to help these guys out of their situation. Yeah, I guess those are the things. So I'm going to allow yourselves to to respond to the questions. And I really would expect you to send us a written response in a form of a presentation. You don't have to come and present it, but you create it in a form of presentation to come back to the portfolio.
Chair, that is actually what I wanted to propose after they responded. Was I think we should have a follow-up meeting the minute that the court of appeals has been concluded. The very first meeting in the new term, they will come back and give us the detail that we've asked for. So I would like a proper implementation plan with key deadlines and responsible entities to in fact make sure that we get a tangible implementation plan moving forward.
Yeah, well, whilst I will agree with Julie that I think in a week, when can we get a response? I want a formal response. The presentation will come at the time, but for the things that members have raised, because we will not remember everything you have said, and I want you, your responses to be in writing, Celeb. I want that commitment now before we leave as to when, through the assignment in Celeb, when can we get a formal response. But I'm going to allow yourselves to respond on law, but I want that written one because I don't want us to miss anything for what matter. But you can then start your response in the meantime. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will go first. Chairperson, the issues you raised are very essential and shows other things that we are working on also. I'm gonna first answer your question as to what e-government is all about. From the e-government perspective, we are addressing the problems of the country from three perspectives. The first one, we know that service delivery is impacted because our government operates in a very manual manner. And what we are saying is that we want to digitalize the business services of government so that we can, and our citizens can engage and transact with government electronically. And also, I mean, everywhere you go, you fill forms, that's reality. And we were trying to deal with that to make sure that you can capture your information electronically. And if you go to another department, at least the information that you capture should be available from the system, not that you have to recapture what you captured in another department, which means a more interoperable government. And then from the information that we collect, the second perspective now is data analytics and business intelligence. We're collecting a lot of information as government, and we have that information. Now we want to be a proactive government. We want to transform our government to be more proactive than a reactive government. And also interfacing with the social media platforms, as you just said, with the hangover issue. We are trying to deal with those issues to make sure that we can see what is happening in the society through the data that is flowing from social media. And also if there is something like if there is an uprising that will come from a certain village or area, we should be able to pick it up first and notify our stakeholders within government. And from the proactive government perspective, we're also looking at the DSD, Department of Social Development space. I mean, we have data there that tells us about the household profile. And within those households, we have issues or situations of child-headed homes. And if we say we've got that information, I mean, we need to use that information, enable our government to use that information to intervene. And we cannot expect a child from a child-headed home to come to government and tell us that we are heading a household. We are supposed to be the government to go there and say, according to the data we have, you are heading a household. We are here to intervene to make the situation better. And the other things that we talk about, I mean, there was an outcry around the NSPAC space where there was a lot of irregularities and corruption. And what we are saying again is that why don't we become a proactive government where now this data that we have, we know exactly who should be qualifying for funding from NSPAC. Why don't we be the one who collect the data, analyze the data, we know the criteria for qualification, and then just notify the people who qualify that you qualify according to the data we have, come and do the signing. And it will be more easier because now it's not coming from it's not mediated from the applicant perspective. And those are the things that we're working on from the data perspective. And also, we know that we're dealing with a lot of objects within the government ecosystem. And the object that government is most passionate with is the person object. And we also know what the journey of this person should be in the life cycle. And what we're trying to say is also we are supposed, and that's where ECD comes in also. We are supposed to, we are building applications actually to create a profile of a person as the person's journey in life. And so that, and the other use case is, for example, when a person goes to, let's say, basic education and higher education, and then maybe that journey may change and someone goes to the correctional services now. And then maybe this person gets arrested for 20 years. And then at some point we need to reintegrate this person to society. Is there information that talks about this person to say when this person was at high school, actually these were his passions. So that when we rehabilitate this person from the correctional services, we rehabilitate the person based on the sense that were identified when the person was at school. So basically, when we talk of a proactive government using our data, we want to go to those, and those are the things that we're doing. Currently, we are sitting with, we are dealing with CSIR because they are very strong in data science. I recently met Dr. Marivate, who is heading the data science department within CSIR. Today, as I'm here, he is at CSIR, and he is there to talk to the applications development team about data science. And we are tackling ECD as one of the as the test use case. Because what we are saying, and we're working closely with the Department of Social Development to say, we want any warning indicators in the journey of a child. If a child is born and within a week we know that a child has to be immunized, there has to be something that goes to the parent in the form of an SMS or something to say, parent, you must know that within a week your child needs to be immunized. And then if so many children are expected to go into the DBE space from the ECD, and let's say we're expecting 400 and now only 100 goes into the DBE space, we should be worried and say, where is the other 300? Where are they lost? And then we try and intervene as government. When I talk about data analytics and business intelligence, those are the things that we're working on. And we also agreed with the CSIR that we're going to identify a certain team from CSIR and a certain team from CSIR, which will deal with data science, and they will work together on CSIR side, and also they will also go to the CSIR, because CSIR has got the necessary tools and technologies that we might need to exploit that space. And then the third perspective that we are looking at as the government is to make sure that we have an open platform in terms of technology to enable everyone to be able to build innovative solutions. We've got a lot of talent that is sitting in rural areas. Those people cannot access their talent because they don't have facilities. What we are saying now, all you need is to go maybe to a nearest Tucson center in court and be able to access the area where we build solutions. I mean, members of society know the problem statements better than we know because they are facing those day and night. And they have the equivalent solutions in their mind. The only thing they don't have is tools and facilities to express themselves. So we are trying to have that platform now to make sure that even the SMMTs can build on the same platform and a commissioned product to be consumed by government and our society. And then coming back to Honorable McKenzie in terms of the e-services that are in production already that I spoke about. When I talk about the e-Temis, we implemented the e-Temis solution for the Department of Economic Development in the Eastern Cape. And the client was the environment was a bit chaotic because they were doing a lot of manual paperwork also, which delayed the turnaround times in terms of issuing the permits for transporting animals. And as a result, they were facing a lot of litigation, because if someone wants to move to the U.S. and they want to transport the animal, if they have to move in the next week, they have to get the permit before the next week. But it was taking more than 6 months because of the manual operation. And we got complimentary emails actually from the client after we implemented the solution that something that used to take 6 months can now take a single day because it's all electronic and a person who's applying for a permit can get it immediately. And also now from the cost perspective, that means now they are, I mean, they are saving a lot from the litigation fees they were spending in court as they were taken by the client. And the other thing is the e-query system that we implemented for the higher education and training. And that one is solving a lot of queries around the issuing of certificates. Because what was happening, the learners there, if a certificate is missing and the learner didn't get a certificate, the learner never knew where to go to. If they hear on the radio that it's education, they go to the education offices. They hear that it's CETA, they go to CETA offices. They hear that Umalus is also involved. They try and locate Umalus offices. So we decided to deploy a solution where they can log their complaints or issues online, and then it goes to all the colleges, the secret colleges, based on the information that the learner provided, or maybe go to the department itself. But at the end of the day, it follows a certain workflow, and it's also interactive in terms of SMSs and emails to the person who logged the complaint. So as for us to know, I mean, to keep them abreast as to what is happening with their issues. So that was piloted in the Gauteng province, and the Department of Higher Education and Training now has decided to roll it out to the entire country. And recently we have deployed the ATP facility for the Department of Small Business Development, where they monitor their government plan as a department, and that is something that we're planning to transversalize and make sure that all the departments use, because we can't be using manual ATPs, whereas we've got this solution that can be easily customizable and be used by many of the departments. And then regarding the RAD Friday Chairperson, the activities, the hackathon activities that we have within CETA, we are also internal facing. I'm answering the question where you said now I was supposed to come here bragging that I'm more advanced than anyone around the table. We are internal facing also to make sure that we also digitally transform CETA as an organization. We can't be a manual organization promising to digitally transform government. So we should be a model. We should try and be a digital organization, so that our clients also, when they come to us, they get convinced that we actually can digitally transform their environment. So basically, our Red Fridays and hackathons are internally facing within CETA and also externally facing to serve our clients.
I'm just thinking of your GPS.
Honorable McCain, the last question was the one of a free of the data issue to encourage the uptake of the e-services. We actually are engaging with the service providers, but we didn't engage them from the free perspective. We were encouraging them to try and incentivize more, especially people from the rural areas, because data is a commodity. If we want, and those are the people who engage or interact or transact with government or with public service alone. So we should try and make sure that when they access maybe our portal to consume the government services, they are discounted, or maybe they are given free data up front to say, for the first 500 megabytes, you are not spending on your own. We are giving you the 500 megabytes so that you can consume or interact with government. So we are looking at those issues.
Just
Thank you very much. Let me just deal with the issues that I need to apologize to, especially the issue of the certification. That's not supposed to happen. Then why I have a lot of other guests, so I really know that, and I apologize for that. Secondly, I think there's the issue around the refinement of the assessment. I will know it's been a meeting with Peter and the Arakun. I was emphasizing that, of course, saying what is needed is exactly what Peter said, when time moves. I'm definitely saying, in this space, okay, let me deal with the language issue. You hear how my colleagues are about the things that he must do, because they must do. So I may be caught up in a situation where I've been disappointed a lot about certain things from the policy perspective. We will expect the interpretation to happen. But I think I must approve of that. I must be forceful. But I've been disappointed a lot. So hence, I end up saying, this is what needs to happen. But how do I go there? There's a key issue that when we look at how we deal with this is how. Simply, we need a proactive and future-oriented policy. There are certain things that we're supposed to be talking about now, from the policy perspective, about what we're going to do with that, what we can do with it. But because there are certain things that have been happened to a point that we're trying to catch up, we must actually catch up. But at the same time, there's a lot of assumptions that what we are at is where most of the country is at. So there's a need to look back and be able to quickly move. Because we're talking about empowering this approach. We're talking about this technology not being able to solve the problems that we're experiencing as a government and as a country now. So there's that element that is always making us look at this. We are not moving with time, but we agree on the need. Secondly, we need a very highly cooperative telecom sector. Because without their cooperation, without them understanding of what we are trying to do, we are lost. So that whole cooperation is a critical thing. And it's not an easy thing to do, because at the end of the day, there are a lot of balancing measures that need to happen. They are the biggest provider of employment. They also need revenue. The sunk costs that have happened in there. So there's a lot of aspects that we see. The third part is the whole issue around trust and confidence in terms of, not just only cybersecurity, but everything that we do, because it's so future perspective to a point that people must be able to see themselves living that, and some of the things that they are present. And the whole content, what do we do with the content that we know? It's so premium. Especially the content, the culture, our way of doing things, it fascinates the world, and they actually use it to consume their people. Those are the key aspects that makes us when we think around what we need to do. Was there an engagement with the industry and the academy and the whole? When we were doing the draft approach into the I'll focus more on the topic. There was a lot of engagement with the academy, because you will never pass anything into the if you haven't mentioned the engagement and the stakeholders that you include. So there has been that. The matter now is the implementation. And we want FCC and the other stakeholders to say, we need to put out an implementation. And then we need to be able to agree as government to say, this is what we intend to do. Then we have an engagement with, that's why we're taking this implementation through the clusters, government clusters. So when we go out there, it's a government approach that says, this is what government sees, and then the input comes in. And that is also part of the fourth industrial revolution that we're talking about. There's a lot of work that has been done. I'm the champion in that. The whole structuring of it, the intention, the engagement with the the focus on that has been done. The only issue that is left now is to table it into the EPC or department and get it to through the expo and go through the cluster government, and then the public or get there to be made aware and stuff like that. So there is that engagement with stakeholders and particularly society, that's where the issue is. I mean, we don't underestimate the academic, because I've read the research, there's a lot of research that's sitting there that says what needs to be done in that, okay? Perhaps I would say to my colleague that maybe what we need to do is the two areas, and I'll tell you to that, that we need to make sure that the e-cabinet issues, we need to get the ministers using NOCRITA into the aware, so that they can see the benefit and the value of what we're trying to do. And then the second part, not the parliament, so that our legislator not be able to, not care, because there are a lot of people, there was a lot of paper, that they must be able to have their online, so these are so that we can be able to demonstrate that effect. And I think there's agreement into that. In terms of the coverage, the verifiability of the coverage, there's a struggle we have when we come to the issue of saying how deep are we in terms of the coverage. So all these numbers that I'm teaching, 98% of the population coverage nationally, more than 64% of the population. That's what we get from our regulators. Okay. So as to whether I think the important thing about the verification, maybe there's something on us to look at. But that's the information that we came in. And I've heard many people say there's no coverage, that the LTE is not there where you are saying. So it's I think that's a critical thing. Sectoral understanding is the issue. Why is it relevant? What you find is that there are departments that are eager, and because once the strategy was approved, there are departments that we have they have engaged with us and say, that's exactly what we need to do. Okay? But we didn't have the base that says we can do that. Now that it's a national requirement. So tourism is one of those departments that have been engaging with the DG on the level of the DG. So in the level where we are, there's that detail that we're talking about in terms of what now must happen and what are the actions that are supposed to happen. And I guarantee that it's going to be. Now the department has a project management. I think the way in which we are configured in the department to deal with this matter needs some work. Because the intention is clear, the work that must be done is understood. But then there are certain aspects in terms of how we are configured and in terms of the capacities that we have in this government that in itself find wanting and gives us this challenge. So we are restructuring the department so that it speaks to exactly what we intend. So there's an element of truth in there in terms of the whole project management and the issue of how the department is considered. So on the issue of, I think, the origin of government infrastructure, why are we inventing the wheel? I think CETA has done a great job. Probably what is needed, I think, is to share with the members in terms of what is the origin. What is the issue that has been coming up from the government of Kenya? Okay? So we'll see how we can improve the development of that. Did you align the pillars with the various organizations in terms of the landfill plan, wireless open? I think it's important to say there are anti things that we are saying, this is what we want to do, but the alignment was that. I think, obviously, in doing things in parallel, there's always going to be a point where things don't match. Okay? And that includes the workup, so that we can be able to see where we are missing the point. But in essence, the 9-point plan is one of our key elements, even when we present our plan, strategic plan, we put it into it. On the issue of the wireless open access network, it's a debate that is going on, but the intentions are local. Around it. That's what I can say about it. But my colleagues are working on this. So you see with the strategy, there are various entities that are working on this. Even in my department, there are people who work on this that need to bring this whole thing so that we shape the future and it looks bright in terms of where we are going. I think there was the issues around failures of SA Connect and the GCP. We have been neglected, you know, and I think it's something that we need to be able to deal with. The mass, the issues of disaster, I think, media, but there's a proactive measure that is SCDG here, the one in charge of making sure that the SOCs are shaping up. So I think he has that. Has there been discussion with networks and provinces in those? Yes. There was an engagement with the provinces, particularly when we were developing this. And we've got a clear bullet point, actually, where each province is saying, in terms of e-government, this is the things we need. And that helps us to be able to cost this thing. To say, in terms of the province, like Northern Cape, they're needing this entire, they're needing this, and it's this much, okay? So we can make a consideration in when we're rolling out this. So the provinces, they have been engaged. The issue is this implementation plan that you are so very guiding us in terms of how it must look like, the who, when, where. That's where we're supposed to be now, with ITA and taking it to the province. Okay, this is what we are doing coming up. The issue of 7 days, the status report, I agree with the chairperson in terms of the breakdown that they're talking about. I think the chairperson is talking about that we need to have what, where, when, and by whom. And I think we will try to ensure that happens. I think, Honorable McKenzie, you were talking about how the private sector is moving and what we have to do to leverage some of the things that they're saying. That's precisely the issue. Now, these things that you're talking about, they are existing, but they are not serving the majority. That's what we are saying. We're not saying that it's a useless thing. You are enjoying it, Honorable McKenzie, in terms of you can be able to get a role in whatever and still be saying coming through. But you are not Honorable McKenzie. No, exactly. That's the point. But the point what we're trying to say is to say these things, they need to be able to cascade it to where they're needed. Because we're trying to solve the problems of this country. And the solutions that we're talking about are actually correct. But are they affordable? Is it the infrastructure that they're able to be able to bring that? It's okay to speak about these things because they're great in their needs. But we need to look at society that we are saving. That's exactly the biggest challenge. And then we'll be able to move together in unison and make sure. But I appreciate the point that you are raising to say there are things that there's a point always when we speak to say, try to do the simple things. Try to, and that's what the most important, but try to do convenience, try to make things that are in themselves, they are convenient, they bring convenience, because once there's a convenience and benefit, whatever that has been said, can be used for certain things. We are meeting with the UK tomorrow. Yes. They're talking about their own, what they've used in terms of the digital procurement, which saved them close to £1 billion in rolling out in just 5 years. So they're sharing with us and say, this is how South Africa can take it and what is the thing that we can. So there, and also we are meeting with Sweden, I think, where they're talking, they're showing us how the hairdresser in the corner, how the seamstress ICT is actually helping them and then contributing to the growth of the economy. You know, and we got a workshop. I think we must extend the invite out to Sydney about that workshop with the Swedish. So there's a lot of value that we are seeing in terms of what's going on. Can be brought out and touching on all the bases. I wanted to talk about the issue about the Trivago and all these things that people can access to. I want to say again, that's precisely what we're discussing. These Trivagos and whatever, they're not South African companies. they are foreign companies, and they actually, you have easier to do in your unit while you are here. You actually have to use paper. You're going to an American company in order for it to be able to make you to an engineer in South Africa. So we are saying, why don't we localize? Because these are the greatest benefits that we can achieve. So we need to create the local demand. And as government, we are supposed to be leading that way. Okay? So we know. These are the things that we... But the government is the one that's supposed to be able to direct the current capacity to do that.
To create
because
an environment.
Yeah. That's intensified. But whatever that we have to do in order to make this thing to be for everyone, and then also contribute to the picture that we bring in the world is there. I think the display of the current sensor, I think the magical thing that we need to be able to say, this current sensor, what are they doing, who's benefiting from them, whatever, because they're already there, this is a matter of making control of their analytics and stuff like that. E-commerce, stuff was just being discussed. I think I absolutely agree that the issue about e-commerce is about logistics. But if you get logistics in transportation, because it's about getting a product from point A to point B at the speed of sound. I think that's exactly how this whole logistics are. The reason why the Universal Postal Union has identified Starport as the potential for an e-commerce hub in the continent is exactly the footprint. That if you look at Italy, the path that the post is taking, if it can be transcribed into becoming a logistics warehousing.
Sorry, Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
Just on a point of order, when you use your words, and I'm asking you to pick your words really carefully, Starport is an e-commerce facilitator for the continent. That's what you said.
Yes.
And then you talk about the paddock region. Now, it's not the continent that they're talking about the e-commerce thing for Starport. It's the region. So you need to choose your words really carefully. Thank you, Chair.
Mike, you're on the floor. You had another matter that you wanted to raise earlier.
I've even forgotten about
it. Oh, apologies for that.
Thank you.
In future, I'll make sure that when you raise your hand, I note you immediately.
Thank you. Sorry. My apologies. I was talking about the Universal Postal Union, which is the global postal service of international, which is engaging with the budget. Why I was talking about this study is because they have indicated a footprint that is so embarrassing in Saudi that they are looking at the country in South Africa. But maybe if you're going to know how I'm saying it comes out differently. But that's what the UPU is engaging with the South Africa. But I don't know if it's going to be that level of research. That's what I was trying to say. I think there was an issue around the timelines were clear. I think we agree on that, that we need to be able to clarify the timeline. the digital revolution, address the digital revolution, we will be able to, as a department, once we have done this, come back to the committee and say exactly what's being in the rest of the committee. And then the written response, I think,
thank you very much. I just wanted to give them a rating to respond to the whole department. My listening to the issues raised by the honorable members, they vary from one saying this presentation is not actually presenting what I would call, first of all, before the digital implementation plan, the concept of framing, how does everything fit together, whether we're talking spectrum, whether we're talking broadband models, or my understanding is that we needed to have shown how this conceptual model fits together, and then show where
all this thing. So we're going to try and do that as we do the recent incident. Secondly, the other point has to do with then just cleaning up the organization itself, which is almost all members that raised that it's not detailed enough. Deep level details so you can kind of indicate what you are planning to do by when. For instance, the issue that we are only left with 4 weeks before the end of the financial year. So what are we going to do now? What are we going to do by? So that is going to also flesh out. I think there was just a question on the conference on the 15th March. What year is this March, 2018? So we will do that and we will then submit in 7 days. If I were to just comment slightly on this platform, e-commerce platform as a matter, I agree to that. We're trying to position the port office to be the logistics hub. In other words, that would happen behind the scenes, when you order from whoever you order from. So we want to position the port office to be the deliverer of those products. So the e-mall that or e-commerce portal that we are talking about is really a value add on what we are trying to do. In a way then position, if you have a service provider or retailers registered in your e-mall, you are almost guaranteed that they will use your service to deliver the products rather than going out and finding the other service provider. So it's a value add and also target to assist SMEs to enlist their products on this e-mall and then the port office to essentially be the delivery part. We will also separately then detail where we have had interactions with either the private sector or provincial and the municipal government.
Colleagues, are we fine? Thank you. Oh, Julie.
Yes, just a request on slide 8, the rollout of broadband to the next 40,000 dominant homes, if you could please also have the particular of which sites are being targeted and who will be in fact responsible for the broadband connection.
We are concluding
our engagement with yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We will remain as a committee to deal with our own internal matters. Thank you for showing up, and hopefully you will withdraw this presentation, bring it back without any classifications, so that we can formally put it into the system. Otherwise, the management is including people from, and then you do the rest of them. Otherwise, you can actually put it to the confidentiality and the secrets.
Thank you.
before the end of the year, but there are a few changes. Actually, last week, when Madam Sheen raised the concern about the requests that she's been making to all chairpersons, and all of them had not responded appropriately, I actually forgot that I actually had tried to respond. Unfortunately, and I thought I was going to bring it today into the meeting, that we had identified the 6th of March, as I know you asked for 2 days, but we had were able to get the 6th of March for what we had requested. We scheduled it between the two committees on Kalekach on Thursday last week. They withdrew from the committee. They didn't tell us the issue, they just said their program, and I've been trying to get hold of the chairperson to say as to why. I don't know. But we were not impressed about it. I think we discussed it amongst ourselves. It's not acceptable. They have to explain to us. Well, they should have negotiated with us to say we request that we reschedule this one. They simply withdrew. They put certain things. Well, I guess they are with pressing matters that they want to do. But it would have been fair that they talk to us and say we request to reschedule one other thing. So the matter was already on the program. It's just that it slipped my mind when you raised the matter. So, but this is our program, but we'll be going back to that matter and perhaps find an appropriate space. We could, as you have recommended, we actually get 2 days, see whether we can